All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Appreciated the boys' lessons, some of the thoughts that were given about faith and trusting in the Lord. That's one of the most difficult things to do, is to trust the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask that you would help us, Father, to be faithful to you, to bring glory to you, Lord. And we ask that you would give us wisdom, help us walk in it. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This fellow blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. What I want to talk about this morning is faith. Jesus, when he was here, often produced miracles. And the Bible teaches and tells us that these things were given, these signs and things were given to the unbelievers so that they could see what he was doing, so that they might see what he's doing and have faith. It was evidence that he was who he said he was. And whenever he did a miracle or did something like this, he had told the man his sins were forgiven. The Pharisees said, "Oh, he's blaspheming." And so to show them he was who he said he was, he said, "Which is easier, to say I'm representing God and I'm the God in the flesh, and so is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk?" And that perplexed him, so he just told the man, "Get up and walk." And the man got up and walked. A miracle happened. And so often, we are looking for some kind of miracle like that to prove that we have faith. Jesus said that an adulterous and sinful generation seeketh after a sign. How often have we desired to know that I'm saved? How often have we struggled with something in our life and we're waiting for God to perform a miracle in our life so that we will know that we are following the Lord? What is that? What is that? Whenever I have to have this miracle to know whether I'm right with the Lord or not. Or I have to have this miracle to know whether I trust the Lord. whether my sins are forgiven. See, the Pharisees, whenever Jesus told the man his sins were forgiven, what was their thought? Who is this? Who is this man that would say your sins are forgiven? That's all that man needed, was his sins forgiven. But they didn't believe it. And so they had to see a miracle to see if their sins were... which is greater? Which is different? What's the difference here? If I can say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk. They didn't believe it anyway. It didn't make one bit of difference having all this evidence because they didn't have faith. Whenever we have faith, oftentimes, most of the time, our faith is not because we've seen a miracle. That doesn't produce faith. In the Bible, we see very few people who changed their opinion about God because they saw a miracle. It didn't change their life. It just encouraged them a little bit. Those with faith was often the exact opposite. It was the exact opposite. In Job, the first chapter of Job, the devil comes before the Lord, before God, and he's talking to God. And God says, "Have you seen my servant Job?" Job didn't know anything about this. This is something happening in heaven. And the devil says, "Well, you've got your hand on him. You're protecting him. Why wouldn't he serve you?" That's the exact thought of if we said our prayers and just everything was just hunky-dory and everything was just, we were just delivered from everything that afflicted us. We were just delivered from ever worrying about whether we were saved or not. If those things were just taken away, the devil could just say, "Well, why wouldn't he serve you? He's got it made. He's doesn't feel any remorse for what he's done. He feels like he's going to heaven. Everything's just great. Oh, when he does something wrong, he just asks a prayer. Boom, he never has to deal with that temptation again. It's just gone. Why wouldn't he serve you? Why wouldn't someone serve a God like that, that we could just say a prayer and it's just magically taken care of? I have doubts. I have anger. I have lust. I have whatever, all these thoughts that come into my heart and my mind. And I say just, oh Lord, take them away. And you never have another one again. There's a man of faith. Baloney." That's what the devil was saying was faith. That's not what faith is. Faith is trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understandings. Acknowledging Him in all your ways and He will direct your path. Faith takes after you fall, after you fail, after you've stumbled, after you just had it all taken away from you, you get up and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to follow Him anyway." See, Job didn't know what kind of test he was going through. But you know what? God knew that he could depend on Job. That song we sing, "Can the Lord depend on you?" We don't sing that song because he can depend on me, because anything I ask him, it's just taken away. "Can the Lord depend on you?" Yeah, I had a thought and I asked the Lord to take those thoughts away and I never had those thoughts again. Is that what the Lord means by "can the Lord depend on you"? What did he do with Job? He said to Satan, "I can depend on him." And Satan said, Let's see if you can depend on Him. Let's see if you can depend on Him. Let's see if this is a man of faith. And so Satan took everything away from him. Took everything from him. What did Job do? He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He trusted in the Lord. Can the Lord depend on you? One of the thoughts I had this morning was about divorce. You know, we teach about divorce and remarriage. In Malachi, it says, God hates the putting away. God hates putting away. The thought I had for the last few days is about people who cut and run at problems. Whenever something goes wrong and things aren't working out the way we want them to in our lives, our tendency is to cut off those things and get away from them. You know, we talk about this in divorce and remarriage. People divorce, they get rid of the other person. They put them away. And the thought is, you know, we see that in the marriage. But it goes much, much, much deeper than that. The spirit of divorce, or the spirit of putting away, is around us every day. Every day. How many people have I talked to that said, "Oh, I failed the Lord. I'm just a terrible sinner. I'm giving up." That's cutting and running. There's no place to go back to. Keep on going, no matter how troubled you might be. No matter how bad you've stumbled. No matter how bad you've failed. Get up and go again. There is no room for quitters in God's army. He needs someone He can depend on. And that doesn't mean a perfect performance every day. That doesn't mean I never fail. I never sin. It's not what it means at all. It means that whenever all hell comes against you and you get the daylights beat out of you, you lay there in the pool of blood and say, "I'm going to still serve the Lord." Instead of cutting and running and throwing in the towel. Cowards. And people do it every day. That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for someone He can trust. He's looking for someone who, when they get the daylights beat out of them, they may be tempted to throw in the towel. They may be tempted to give up. But they say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to serve Him anyway." Our mentality is such that we think if the Lord doesn't just heal us from what's afflicting us, He must not care about us. He must not trust us. We must not be real Christians. Women fail. Women fail. They blow up against their husband. They have a problem against their husband. And they just, "I'm going to quit." And so they just take their covering off and just quit. That's not what you do when you fail. You humble yourself and say, "There's nothing to go back to. Do I want to be like I just failed? Do I want to seal that as my position forever? Is that what I want, to just stay in that defeat and just wallow in that mess forever? Or do I decide, I messed up, But the only hope I have is to keep on going forward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will direct thy path. It doesn't say a little prayer and all your problems will be taken away. It says, trust in the Lord. You walk this life out. It's not a one-time deal. You say a prayer and now you're on your way to heaven and everything's just fine. All your sins, all your temptations, all your weaknesses are just taken away. And now you're just this perfect little saint. That's not the way it is. If you get to that place, you've missed something. It's called faith. Because everyone I see about in the Bible that had faith, they got roughed up a little bit. They failed. They didn't just live in that condition. But if they did, they kept on going. We have the attitude, we just cut them off as soon as they fail. We're done with them. The spirit of divorce. The spirit of divorce. Just cut off anybody that don't meet up to what I think they ought to. It's faithlessness. Instead of letting those things work out in us, what God wants to do to see if He can trust us. The cut and run spirit. I mean, you know, if we were in battle and I got shot or you got shot, and in the military they've got a kind of a code of honor that nobody gets left behind. We don't promote someone being in the military, going out and taking vengeance and murdering and killing people. We're taught to love our enemies. But if you're out there, how just compare the situations here. You're in a bad situation. And your buddy gets shot. And the enemy is coming at you. And you stay there with your buddy. The guy you're fighting with. Or you do everything you can. You know he's going to slow you down. You know you can get away if you just take off running. But you know that you'll be putting yourself in danger if you try to get him out. Where is nobility? Where is nobility? There's something honorable about that. Even though, like I said, we don't promote that. It's not. You shouldn't be in that position in the first place. We should be seeking a higher kingdom. But there's some nobility. There's some courage. There's some trustworthiness. There's some principles that people are willing to die for. And where are they in the church? We get the same situation in the church. And the first thing we do is cut and run, lest I get contaminated. Cut and run, because I'll get in trouble. What do you think God is going to honor more? Someone in a bad situation, doing wrong, but when it comes right down to it, his buddy can trust him. Or someone doing everything right, and when it comes right down to it, nobody can trust him. There's no room for people that God can't trust. Sure, we have struggles. Sure, But be there. Be there. If the military can put that into somebody's heart, if the military can take people that are godless otherwise, some of them, that they wouldn't leave their friend behind for nothing. And then the church is just exactly the opposite. What do you think God sees? Can the Lord depend on you? Can your friends depend on you? Can the people around you depend on you? Do they know you'll be there? We're looking for some silver bullet just to fix everything. That's not faith. Faith is walking this out, being faithful. Being a man of principle, a man of character. You might not do everything perfect, but you're striving to, and you want to, and we try to put in these principles and practices and live them out, and we think that we shouldn't fail. But how often is that just pure old pride? You know what happens most of the time when people fail and get discouraged and want to quit is because they think they're better than that. They think they're above that. Because their precious little reputation has been tarnished now, at least in their own eyes. That's just pure old pride. If the Lord would take His hand off of us and turn the devil just loose, there is nothing that you won't do. Nothing that you won't do. That's where grace and mercy comes in. He's got His hand on us. He's letting us to see if we're going to be faithful to Him, if He can trust us to hang in there. There's no place to give up. There's no place just to get tired and say, what's the use? You know, God can't use that. You know, the military can't use that. Nobody can use that. If you're undependable, nobody can use that. If you've been undependable, get dependable. If you fail in being dependable, get right back up and be dependable. The cut and run. The cut and run is what the divorce is. You know, it's amazing what people can do when they're free. Whenever a man wants truth, and it's just allowed to be freedom. Allowed to be free. There's no limitations. Jesus said, if you're free, you should be free indeed. That's why, you know, someone looking for the truth, I don't care if they read Jehovah's Witness material. They might find a little truth in it. They're not going to be deceived by what they see or hear, because they have this character that they're going to be faithful. They're not looking for something to give them the answer they want to hear. They're dependable. And it doesn't matter what comes through them or what comes to them or what they read or what they see. They can still see the good in those things and do away with what's left. You're not going to want to read a lot of that stuff. You're not going to want to see a lot of that stuff. But if you do, it doesn't have to poison you. If you're wanting truth. I mean, so many of the schools and colleges, they're trying to program people the opposite of what needs to happen. Churches are trying to program people, trying to make them fit in, trying to create rules and regulations to make them fit in, put pressure to make them fit in, instead of letting them free. So that they can choose to be what God wants them to be. And then there's nothing that can hurt them after that. It takes faith to be free. It takes faith to be dependable. And you've got to let people go. You've got to let them make those choices themselves. You've got to watch them make stupid choices sometimes to get through those things. If they can't learn to make those decisions on their own, all your protection and all your shelter is just producing a faithless generation of people that God can't depend on. If God can't depend on us, and our neighbors can't depend on us, and our friends can't depend on us, and our family can't depend on us, we may have the perfect appearance, but we're undependable. If I was in battle, which we are in this spiritual realm, I want people that I can depend on by my side. I don't want a bunch of cowards that are going to cut and run the first sign of trouble. No use for that at all. It's just a big show. God's looking for people He can depend on. Can He depend on you? Can He depend on you?
So let our lives and lives express the Lord.